So today, I want to talk about a subject that I think is interesting, how to help someone else when they blow up or climb up. All right? How to listen. We're going to talk about that today from God's Word. Now, what's going to happen today, normally we have scriptures up online, up on the screen, but today, you actually am not having any scriptures up, so you may have to look scriptures up and read. And if anybody has access to a Message Bible, I'll ask you to have it open. So when I call out a scripture, I would like for you to read it. Amen. When others are mad or upset and they blow up right in your face, and when people are mad or upset, what do? They become violent, right? Or they become silent. They climb up and they just close out. Now, how many know that when people blow up, what's our natural tendency? To blow up as well, right? To go like, are you serious? What is that supposed to mean? You know, we engage in fight. That's the natural way of doing it. And we know it doesn't work. Or sometimes we just freeze and go silent for weeks. And that doesn't work. Got it? So this can happen at home, at work, or in your neighborhood, or your family. We've tried to make sure we understand that this series is not simply about couples, though it's helpful for couples, but our relationships are beyond husband and wife. They're friends and family and people around about us, all right? So here is what God's word says in Romans 14, verse 19. Okay? You have it? I'm going to read it, and I want you to look it up in your Bible. I know you've been so spoiled looking on the screen, but now I want you to open your Bible. Look it up. Romans 14, verse 19 says, so then, let us pursue what leads to peace and mutual edification. Let us pursue what leads to peace and mutual edification. So you come home and your daughter blows up on you. Or she freezes, doesn't want to talk to you, slams the door, says, leave me alone. The Bible says, let us pursue what leads to peace. When people blow up, there's no peace. Got it? Romans 14, verse 19. Who's got the message? I need your engagement here. Who's got the message? Let me see the hand. 1, 2, 3. Nobody? Come on. Romans 14, 19. Did I? Yes, you got it? Sherry, give it to me. Let us pursue what makes for peaceful mutual building. Right? So we all find ourselves in a situation, you're a couple, maybe there's a fight, right? And now you're not talking, someone's sleeping in the couch, someone's sleeping upstairs. The Bible says, let's do what? Pursue what leads to peace. So this is what we're talking about. How do we pursue peace when one of us blew up on us or just isolated themselves, they don't want to talk? You see, the Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 15, and verse 2, it says, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. But the mouth of fools spouts foolishness. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. What have we been doing? We are gaining knowledge how to build healthy relationships, how to have peace at home, how to have peace with our children, how to have peace in our neighborhoods, how to have peace at work with our co-workers. And the Bible says, if I'm righteous, I'm going to value knowledge. I want to know how. The Bible says the tongue of the wise. So to move forward on this, how do I pursue peace? I need to be able to skill up on listening, okay? Skill up on listening. If I'm going to skill up on listening, I have to be genuine. You ever find people that tell you, hey, how's your day? But when you try to say something, they're actually not engaged. Or you come home and maybe the guy's watching a game and wife comes and like, hey, honey, how's it going? Oh, it was awful. Oh, okay. And he keeps watching the game because he's actually saying, I'm just being kind, but please don't get serious with me because I'm not ready to talk about your issues right now. So, and that happens a lot. So when we are going to communicate with other people, we want to make sure that, one, we are going to be genuine. Amen? Number two, you want to be curious. So if somebody says, you know, if they come home and say, how was your day? And you walk into the house and say, well, it was awful. If you really want to skill up on listening and care and pursue peace, then you want to be curious about that statement. Why was it awful? Now you want to be engaged and say, okay, what really happened? Because now the first thing is you're genuine. Now you're moving the skill up to really being curious. Or if people are furious, then we have to be curious. When people are furious, they're mad or they're snappy, they're irritable because you just say one thing like, hey, can you bring me a glass of water, and they snap at you. Now you want to be curious. Okay, I just asked you for a glass of water and you snapped at me. What's going on? What's happening? How was your day? Tell me more. You want to be curious. You want to engage because you are pursuing peace. Because that's what the Bible says. Let us pursue for the things that create peace. Apparently, someone in your life right now could be your daughter, could be your child, could be, of course, your child is your daughter, your daughter is your child, but could be your spouse. You want to be what? Curious when they are furious, or if they're climbing up, or they're just violent, you want to engage. You don't want to ignore that. Now, number three, you want to stay curious, because how many know, have you ever talked to somebody when they say they're mad at something, or they're reacting, or they're snapping at you, they tell you, I just got this girl at work just yelled at me, or she said this and this about me. You don't want to be like, oh yeah, that's good, we'll check it off, just move on. You know, you're better than that, just live, she's a loser, just go on. You want to stay engaged. Because many of us could be curious, but we are not ready to really help the situation. We don't want to go deeper. So it's very important that I'm willing to stay curious and be able to just stay with them to help them move to the next level where they need to get. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So it's very important. Number four, which also, you know, in listening, in stepping up your skill to listen, is be patient. Be patient. Anybody ever gets impatient listening to other people's issues? Right?
Everybody.
You know, you have had a day at work and you're coming to your wife and they're talking to you, you're hungry, you need to get something to eat, and they don't really want to offload.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, all right, let's just, you know, you're trying to give them cues, like, okay, that's enough, just for one score, but they're still offloading. If you want to help somebody in your life, learn to be patient. Just exercise that patience. Because when you are patient, you're saying, you matter to me. And I care about you. It's what you communicate by your actions. Willing to be patient, slowing down everything else, you want to be patient. So we're talking about, how do I help somebody else when they've blown up? You need to be patient. Because why do you have to be patient? Because when people blow up, the adrenaline gets in the blood. They get emotional, right? And by you just being calm and talking to them, you're showing them you care. But that adrenaline takes a long time to get out of their bloodstream. So you need to stay with them until the adrenaline comes what? Out of it.
And now you've been patient. Sometimes it takes long. Now, some people it takes a real long time. But some people can get out of it. So you want to be patient. Now, how many know that when somebody is really upset or they're just silent, they give you the silent treatment? How many know there is a root cause and they're not talking about it, right? So that happens a lot. Now, here is how do people get to a place where they blow up or be silent or just snap or just irritable, just angry at you or angry at the situation? How does that happen? Here's how it happens. You know how it happens? They observe something. They hear or see something, right? And when I see something, then I'm going to make up what? A story. We talked about the story we tell ourselves. So now I've made up a story. Now I'm telling myself that story. So I was in the office. You called everyone to the meeting, but you didn't call me into the meeting. You didn't engage me. Now I make up a story. They called everyone into the meeting but me. I think they don't like me. I think she's trying to get me out of here. So now I've made up what? Story. So I'm telling myself a story. Then the next thing I'm going to do, I'm going to have an emotion. The emotion of resentment, of bitterness, or just like, I want to do something too, you know? I want to pull them down. They want to drag me, I'm going to drag them down. You know, we're going back. And next thing you know, you're going to do an action. Your action could be anger, it could be something, you could just, you know, whatever it is. I'm just using an example, but that's how we get there. So when somebody's blowing up, that's the steps they went through. They saw and had something, and then they made up a story, right? And then they got emotional and acted out. It's simply like, you know, you're doing laundry at home, and you're going through clothes, and you find in your daughter's pants there's drugs in there. You're like, oh, now you've seen something. Next thing you do, you make up a story. She must be doing drugs. She must be hanging out with the wrong people. How could she do this? And that goes on. You make a story. Next thing you get what? Emotional. And now you call somebody else. You couldn't believe what I found. You call the sisters. You call your brother. You call everybody. I can't believe it. Oh, I'm ruined my life. Oh, my God, my daughter. You are now emotional. And when she comes home, you act on it. Now everything blows up, right? Because you told yourself a story. Now your daughter may not be skilled to know how to help you out. But we're teaching you this so that you know how to handle situations like that so that you don't have to create chaos in our lives, in our relationships. So if somebody comes to me and they blew up or they're acting out of control, now, what I see, I need to help them go back to where it all started from, right? So I want to see, okay, you're acting really strange right now. You're angry, you're mad, you're upset, you just snap, you're irritable. Okay, let's find out. You're feeling upset. I want to engage you that way. You're feeling, you appear really upset. What's going on? I want to help the person that is blown up to go back to what they saw and heard. Does that make sense? Come on, does that make sense? So they are right here acting it out, they're violent, they're snappy, you want to help them go back to what they saw and heard. Because what if what they saw or heard was wrong? Right? And I have just gone on this training wreck all on the wrong direction. So this is what we're talking about, how to help somebody else when they blow up. We want to make sure we take them back to what they heard and saw. And we want to make sure that that is true. Because the stories we tell ourselves may be what? Wrong, right? Maybe fabricated, may not be accurate. Okay, are we together in this? So we don't know their story. When we come in, we don't know their story. We don't know what story they told themselves. So now you have a coworker who's mean at you. You have Your wife would come home and she doesn't want to talk to you. You say, how you doing? Fine. How did it? And they're not engaging you. You're coming in the tail end where they're acting it out. So you don't know what's going on. You don't know what story they've told themselves. You don't know what they interpreted about what they saw, right? So we are coming in at the tail end. And that's a hard place to come in, because normally we don't know what to do. We either want to fight as well, want to make it worse, we want to avoid them. We'll be like, you know what? I'll leave you alone until you calm down, you know? That's not helpful when you tell somebody that. So what do we want to do? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, a gentle answer, what? Turns away wrath. A gentle answer. So someone is angry, they blow up, they just not want to talk to you. The Bible says a gentle answer. How many has ever taken heed for nothing for something you never did? Right? You become the victim for something you didn't do. Well, because they got something going on that you're suffering for. But the Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath. Now, that's the Bible. How do you do that? A gentle answer. How do I become gentle when all my pride says put on my boxing gloves as well? How do I become gentle? Because in our world we believe that being gentle is being weak. And having a gentle answer is being flimsy and wimp. You know, you got to be tough. You got to come back with a bigger voice and a louder voice. You want to yell louder. But God says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Now, after a while of doing things our way, we all agree, maybe it's time we try God's way. Maybe it's time we try to do it God's way. Because God says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. So what we have to do, we need to break the cycle. We need to break the cycle and help them get to the root of the issue. Got it? So if somebody, I come home and it's violence or silence, I'm coming at the tail end, I need to break the cycle. I don't want to keep the cycle going. I don't want to play like they're playing. I don't want to be violent like they are violent. I don't want to be angry like they're angry. I want to break the cycle. Because what I see, there must be a root cause. There's a reason why they're angry, and I want to help them. Maybe it's on me. If it's me, it's maybe misinterpreted, and I want to be able to help them. Got it? Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. You got it? Anybody got it? Yes. Read it, Zach. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Right. That's God's word. Let's put aside all these things as anger, rage, malice, slander. Let's put it aside. So again, you're in a situation where somebody's blowing up, they're acting very mean, they're angry at you, and you're getting angry. The Bible says, let's put it aside. So how do we do that? That's what we're talking about, right? How do I put it away? Now, people that know better ought to do better. Can I get an amen? Amen. People that know better ought to do better. When I know that the Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath, I ought to do better because I know that. People that know better, people that know that when people act up and blow up, there's a story they've told themselves based on what they saw. They made a story, they acted it out. Now that I know better, I need to realize that I need to come in and help them go back to what story they're telling themselves. I can help a co-worker at work. I can help a neighbor. I can help a family member. I don't need to gauge myself in a fight because the Bible says to put all those things away. The Bible says I need to put anger away, malice and slander. These things are the things that break relationships. I need to put it away. I don't need to fight the fight you fight. I need to fight the fight that God calls me to fight. Because the fight you're fighting is all orchestrated by the devil, because the devil came that we may have destruction and chaos. So the devil wants that when you come at me, blowing up on me, the devil wants me to blow up on you and go that way. But God has called me to another fight, which is die to myself, because if I can do it God's way, I'm going to be more of a victorious person than doing it the human way. So I'm going to fight God's battle. God tells me, gentle answer. I know it's going to be hard. This is easily said than done. When you're in the heat of the moment and your adrenaline is also trying to rise up. Now, talk about dying to self at that moment. Right? Man, your blood adrenaline is going up. You're turning red and you're just, you know, it's hard, guys. But we'd rather fight the fight that God's calling us to fight than fighting the wrong fights we've always fought.
Amen. Come on, Pastor.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Clap your hand for Jesus. Come on, if you're going to clap, clap it. All right? So now, God has called us to fight. So what do we have to do? We need to step up to the plate. This takes strong people. People that are ready to do it, God. You got to step up to the plate. It takes guts. It takes guts to step up to the plate. Because it's God's way of doing it. Now, when do I step up to the plate? When I realize something's out of line. When I realize that someone in my life, or my neighbor, my coworker, is just angry, blowing up on me. And I'd rather avoid, I'd rather freeze, I'd rather just stay away. And God says, don't freeze. Don't avoid. Don't run away. Step up to the plate. How many of that takes guts? Especially if you're the kind of person who prefers to be silent. Right? Now, if you're the person who likes being violent, it doesn't take a lot of guts to do God's way, because you're telling somebody who always gets angry and fight and believes got anger issues, you're telling them to be gentle. It takes guts. And God says, step up to the plate. Will you be strong enough to step up to the plate? Yeah, but they did this to me. But will you be strong enough to step up to the plate? How? By doing it God's way. What? When the moment calls for it. You see, if we don't get, listen to this, if we don't get to the source of what they saw and heard, when they develop those emotions, we are going to suffer because of their emotions. Say that again. If we don't get to the source of their feelings, we're going to suffer because of their feelings. Where do you think they came up with this saying that a happy wife is a happy life? Is it happy wife, happy life, or happy life, happy wife? It doesn't matter. But they came up with that is because if she's having a bad day, you're going to suffer that. You may be innocent, do nothing, man, but you're going to take the brunt of that. Right? This is why it's important that if I don't get to the source of the feelings, we will suffer the effects of their feelings. This is applicable at work. This is applicable parent-children relationship. The people in your life, if you're beginning to suffer the effects of their emotions, your job is trying to get to the source of their feelings so you care not. If you care about the relationship, if it matters to you. Does that make sense? So, have I hit your appetite a little bit? Are you tracking with me?
Yeah.
Can we? Are we still together?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on here. Now we need to, so we've cared enough. We need to get in touch with our feelings. We realize now we need to engage. And respectfully is a key word here. I don't want to engage anyhow. I want to engage with respect. Respect, guys, relationship respect is so critical. It doesn't matter if you make the most money, it doesn't matter if you're the boss, it doesn't matter if you're the parent, everybody deserves respect. A child deserves respect from a parent, an employee deserves respect from their boss, a wife deserves respect from their husband. We always think that I'm the highest ranking, so I don't have to give you respect. I'm their parent, so I don't have to respect my child. No, it's not going to work that way. Everybody deserves respect, so I need to engage respectfully. Make sense?
Yeah.
And how do we, let's move on here. Here are the steps. You want to ask open-ended questions. Make sense? So I want to talk to you. I noticed that you're very irritable. You're snappy, you're angry, you're silent. You're just slamming the door, you're just mad, you're mean, you're upset. You understand? You came in today and I say, how are your day going? Like, awful. Now, I want to ask open-ended questions. How many know what open-ended questions are? Questions that don't lead to just yes or no, but questions that help people explain what's going on. So I want to ask open-ended questions. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28, you can write that or read it with me. It says, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. Right? The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things.
What was that scripture again?
Proverbs 15, verse 28. 15, verse 28. So I need to ask open-ended questions because I'm trying to be a mouth of the righteous. I want to help somebody. And so I'm going to come and say, please, I want you to feel safe talking to me because something is not right. I'll let you know your opinion. Could you tell me more of what's going on? This is how we apply the scriptures in our lives, in our relationships. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Number two, I need to mirror what I see. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you say, is everything okay? Fine. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, what they're saying and what I see doesn't match up. Got it? Are you tracking with me? What I see and what they're saying don't match up. They say, I'm fine. They kick the dust and leave the room. Leave me alone. I'm fine. I need to mirror that. And how do I? Mirror is like holding a mirror before somebody. I can say, I obviously see that you're really upset. What is going on? I hear you saying you're fine, but you actually look very disturbed. Now I'm giving them permission to talk to me. I'm opening up. I'm saying, hey, yeah, let's talk. Because just because they say they're fine doesn't mean they are fine. I need to be able to mirror what's going on. When in mirroring people, trying to describe what you see, the cues you get from their feelings, what they're acting, nothing is more important than the tone of your voice. In most of our battles are all, 50% of our battles and fights in relationship are all because of the tone of our voices. And some of us have no understanding of the negative impact of how our tones sound. we think it's normal. We're so used to yelling that we think yelling is normal. We're so used to shouting and we think shouting is normal. We're so used to talking with this tone that is so sarcastic and we think it's fine. And yeah, that may be fine in a reality TV show, but it's not fine in real life relationships. Okay, so the tone of my voice, if I want to mirror what I say, what I see, yeah, I can't be like, yeah, right, you're fine, look at your attitude. You know, it's not going to help. But I have to make my tone be gentle in describing what I see that doesn't match what they're saying. Got it? So the tone of your voice matters. And so now I've given them permission to talk, and my tone has been welcoming, and I want to hear what's going on, and I want to see what's happening, and they open up and tell me a little bit of what's going on. Now, as a skilled pastor who's skilled enough in listening, the next thing I want to do is I want to summarize what I've heard them say. Okay? Now, I've had several conversations over the phone with Jesse, and Jesse's really good at this. We'll be talking and he'll be like, now let me make sure I had what you say. Yeah. And he will, right? Rito? Yeah? He said, let me make sure I had what you say. I tell you, that is so powerful in relationships. When you can take the time where you have probed somebody else and you have mirrored what, and they said something and you're able to say, okay, let me make sure I understood what you say. It doesn't mean you have to say word for word what they say, but you have to own it and put it in your own words to let them know you heard them.
Amen.
Amen. Right, amen. Okay, we need to be able to do that.
Right.
How many know that there's so many marriages that will still be stunning if they just knew this?
Yeah.
How many know there's so many relationships that would have been saved if they just knew this? You see, people, I've seen so many relationships where people get offended and they don't know what to do. They just run away. They just run away. And they go silent for months and years. We haven't talked in 6 months. So why? Because I was offended and I don't know how to deal with it. I ran away. I don't want to talk to you. We want to be the people that mend broken relationships. We want to be the people that bring restoration. And we're together that. So I want to summarize. And now, when you're summarizing, you're trying to help someone, don't push too hard. Don't push too hard, because when you push it too hard, like, okay, let me hear you, let me make sure I heard you correctly, and this isn't what you're saying is going on, blah, 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 this and this, and like, yeah. And you're like, can you tell me some more? I'm like, no. If they're putting up a wall, they don't want to talk anymore, it may be good to just fall back and step off. Don't push too hard. Because when you push too hard, some people may get more defensive. They may feel like, what do you care? First of all, they may not think you really care. So why are you even pushing too hard to know about my life? So you want to show respect. And what you could do in that point is saying, you know what, let me see. Maybe, hey, if you want to talk later, if you want to take this on, I'm more than happy to talk. I'm more than available anytime. I'd like to be here for you. You want to give them that permission, but you don't want to push yourself so hard on them. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, so you've done those things. You're trying to help somebody who blew up, and you come home and your wife is all chaos, you know, all's gone. You've done all that to summarize it. Now, what else do? You want to prod. You want to ask for more questions, okay? What happened to my slide? I don't know. Okay. You want to probe. You want to invite. You want to ask them for more. You want to invite them in. You want to ask more questions. You want to dig deeper. Does that make sense? Guys, this is helpful?
Yeah.
You want to prop some more. And when you prop some more, sometimes you become vulnerable because you may be the reason. Right? So you are becoming vulnerable, but you want to build comfort. You want to build safety. You want to make sure that when you ask them for more, be ready. Okay? Be ready. Now, look at me. Be ready that if it's you, you don't put on your gloves. Just make sure that, okay, it's about helping out. Okay, I'm asking for more, but I may be the reason, and I should be ready to hold my peace now. You understand what I'm saying? That is a very risky place because you've walked through the process with them, now you ask for more, and you find out it's what you did or didn't do.
Yeah, here it comes.
Right? So, it takes you being vulnerable, and you have to stay the course because people will not want to hear from you unless they know they've been hurt as well, right? People don't care what you're saying, thank you. People don't care what you are saying until they know you care enough about what they were saying. Make sense?
Right. Yeah.
Now, I want to finish with this. Are you talking with me the process here? Okay. So what if now that you probe them, okay, and you found out it was you they thought was an issue because you got deeper and now it's like what you did or what you never did.
Yeah.
And what if they're wrong? They've been on this train for 2 days or something that was totally wrong. What if they are wrong? What do you do? Now, do you put on a fight? You're like, okay, it's my turn now. Let me lay it down. Let me give it to you now. No. You see, if they're wrong, actually they say that 10 to 15% of what we fight over is what we disagree on. But 85% or about 85% of the things we fight over, we actually agree. So what you want to do is emphasize the agreement. Don't fight over the disagreement. So you have, you know, maybe a blended family and you're fighting over a child. What one parent said and the other parent didn't say. You're fighting over that. Do you realize that about that child, you are probably agree like 80% you're on the same page. But now you're fighting over the 20%.
Yeah.
Oh, it's finances. And you're fighting over the 20% you disagree on as far as that money is concerned. So what you want to do, build again. Start off by agreeing. Build a foundation. You know what? This is what we agree on. We agree on these factors about this issue. At least let's share the agreement. Let's not take time to take the disagreement and make it an argument. Make sense?
Yeah.
Focus on what you agree on. Because we'll all be agreeing on something. Then, once I created that, then I need to build on it. Okay? What I build on it, it's not about me being right and you being wrong. Because we have 80% that we agree on. How do I build on that? I will say, well, in addition to what we agree on. So we agree on 80%. Right, whatever it is. Now I need to build on it. And how do I build? I say, you know, in addition to what I say or in addition to what you say, this is, I add on it. Make sense? And I'm not trying to discredit what you say. I'm trying to add on what you say. Because we spend a lot of time trying to discredit other people's opinion. And that doesn't lead to peace. So I need to just add on it. In addition to what I said, this is what I'm saying, okay? And now, what if you added on it and now they still have their own opinion? Is it your job to tell them how wrong they are and how right you are? Because we've been raised to always be the right ones. we argue a lot. We argue about everything. We argue about politics. We argue about sports. We argue about this because we're always trying to be the right one. And if I'm not right, I'm losing. I gotta make sure I'm right. And we can't do that in relationships. Relationships not about who's right. It's what's right for the relationship. Now that's powerful. That was deep right there. That was save the relationship right there. All right? So, no, I'm not. All right. It's on tape. Okay. It's not about who's right. It's about what's right for the relationship. Okay? So now, because that's what I believe, I need to compare. So I will say, well, based on how I see it, this is what I see, and I'm not discrediting what you're saying, but this is what I see. Compare yours, how you differ. Just focus on how you are different, not how somebody is wrong. Don't disregard their views, okay? You can say, well, I see it differently, and let me explain how I see it differently. Why are we doing this? Because we're doing what the Bible tells us. Let us pursue peace. What leads to peace? Amen? In relationships. Okay. I'll wrap it up there. My sister needs to come. See if she got some exercise for us or something to talk about. Give her a hand, guys. All right.